أزواجهم. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والصفوة من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال رجل من آل فرعون يكتم إيمانه: أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله وقد جاءكم بالبينات من ربكم؟ صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
One of the subjects that is debatable, and it had been the subject of debate among the Muslims, is taqiyyah. Taqiyyah is hiding one's faith and hiding one's religious orientation and madhab, because that person or that family or that group are in danger. They are under intimidation, danger, and either their life is in danger, as it is the case in some countries and societies. Sometimes the job is in danger, losing his or her job if they tell people about their religious orientation and madhab and school of thought and religion. Sometimes their children are in danger, their career, their property, their wealth. If these things are in danger, then the Holy Quran gives us permission to hide our faith. You don't have to declare it in public. And in this case, when people are very narrow-minded and they have ta'assub and a prejudice against you, you don't have to tell them about your faith. You don't have to tell them about the truth. And this has roots in the Holy Quran, in many chapters, in many verses. One of them is this verse: وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ. In the group of Pharaoh, there was only one person who was faithful and he believed in God, and he was the supporter of Musa alayhi salam. But he knew that if he tells them the truth about his faith in God, not only he is going to be persecuted, but also Musa is going to be hurt. So he had to conceal his faith. يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَ. He had to conceal his faith and not to share it with them, to protect his own self and also to be able to provide protection for Moses. This is why in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ فَاخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. This person, when he was sitting in a meeting, top secret meeting, this believer person with Pharaoh and his administration, and they decided to put an end to Moses' life. They would kill him. So he realized that, so he came running towards Musa, and he said to him, إِنَّ الْمَلَأْ, this group of conspirators are sitting there, conspiring, لِيَقْتُلُوكَ, to murder you. فَخْرُجْ, leave Egypt, don't stay here anymore. إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ, I am wishing you the best and the protection, so listen to me and leave. Therefore, Musa alayhi salam was able to leave before they captured him because of this man who concealed his faith, and he was able to protect one of the messengers of God. Also, we have during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when the few Muslims who accepted Islam in the beginning, and they were persecuted by Abu Sufyan and leaders of Quraysh, Allah says to the Muslims, لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا, you have one exception, إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقات, unless you fear for your life. If you fear for your life and your status and your family and your property and your safety and security, in this case, you can say with your tongue that I'm a non-believer. You can say I'm a mushrik if your life is in danger. Although this verse came during the time where the polytheists were ruling Mecca, but now we have some people who are takfiris, no less than the polytheists, and their enmity, and their hatred, and their discrimination, and their bias against the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they have the same spirit, and the same tactics, and the same evil intention. So when you are in a society that do not have tolerance for others, and they intend to do harm to you and your family, then in that case you must exercise taqiyya. You hide your view. Today some of the worshippers in one of the cities of Al-Ahsa in the eastern province, a small city or town called Mahasin, they were doing their Friday prayers, two people, they attacked the masjid. A suicide bomber and someone with a machine gun. And then they opened fire on the Shia worshippers. Today, a few hours ago, in the eastern province, which resulted in many casualties. Many people were killed during their Friday service, Friday prayers, and many others are wounded. So we do also still today, after 1400 years of Islam, the journey of Islam, still we have in the same land, in the same peninsula, in the same country, in the same land, we have some people who carry the spirit of Jahiliyyah, of the polytheist. They go to a masjid where people are facing the Qibla, the direction to Mecca, where people say Allahu Akbar, where people say La ilaha illallah, where people say Muhammadur Rasulullah, where people do the Friday prayers, they don't kill people who go to the nightclubs, people who drink and dance in the same land, in the same country. They don't go after them. They go after the musallin, the worshippers, the pious, the atqiya, the awliya. So in this case, you have to protect yourself. إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقات. You have to protect yourself and hide your belief. You don't have to share it. And therefore, some people say, but this is, isn't this nifaq, hypocrisy, when I don't tell people about my faith? Or if they ask me, you are Shia, I say, no, I am not a Shia. Isn't this hypocrisy? No, this is not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy has been defined in Islam. It has only one meaning. Nifaq has one meaning. And the meaning is يَسْتُرُ كُفْرَهُ وَيُظْهِرُ إِيمَانَهُ. A person hides his disbelief and falsely display his faith. This is nifaq. Inside, he's a disbeliever. But with his tongue, with his actions, he pretends to be a believer. This is nifaq. This is the definition of nifaq in Islam. Therefore, Allah says to the Prophet in a whole chapter in the Quran, Surah Al-Munafiqun, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. They come to you, they assert that we believe in God, we believe in you, you are the messenger of God, but don't believe them. They are hiding their disbelief. Hiding their disbelief and falsely displaying few words on their tongues. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ are liars, لَكَاذِبُونَ. This is the definition of nifaq. While the definition of taqiyya, hiding your faith, when you hide your faith, يُظْهِرُ الْكُفْرُ وَيَسْتُرُ الْإِيمَانَ بِدَاخِلِهِ. He shows agreement with them. Sometimes they are non-Muslims and sometimes they are radical Muslims, takfiris, who are worse than non-Muslims. Today, all the mayhem and the murder that is taking place against the Muslims, innocent Muslims, not by non-Muslims, by some radical Muslims, who are helped, of course, by some non-Muslims. Some countries, they provide the money, the silah, the weapon, and they take advantage of some people who went into the wrong direction, who were misled, either because they are naive or because they are muta'assir. Some of them, they are not naive. They are not naive. But they have discrimination and bias. في قلوبهم مرض. There is sickness in the heart. Sickness. Some people, they are used to do good. They can't do bad. And others, their system is different. They don't know how to do good or to say good. All what they do is bad. We have the two examples in this life. So nifaq is when someone shows disagreement with others, although they are wrong, but he hides his heart. He shows agreement with them while his heart is clean. His heart is pure. This is the taqiyya. وقال رجل, the example is in the Holy Quran. وقال رجل من آل فرعون يكتم إيمانه. Therefore, taqiyya is exactly the opposite of nifaq. Contrary to nifaq, they are not the same. And their objectives are different. Munafiq, his objective to destroy, to sow the seed of tension and division in the community, in the society, between the people, between the families. While the someone who is using taqiyya, practicing taqiyya, his objective is to protect himself and his family from persecution, is to protect his young ones, his society. So his objective is islah, reforms, building, not destruction. And the first person who practiced taqiyya was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. For 3 years, the Prophet, 3 years in the beginning of his mission, his da'wah, his mission in Mecca, he was practicing taqiyya. He would not go in public and declare his faith. And he asked the very few,
very few, handful of people who accepted him and believed in his mission, he asked them to do the same. Not to go in public, not even to share their faith with their own relatives and of their own family members. To protect themselves against the severe persecution of Quraysh. And then after 3 years, Allah said to him, فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Today, you have to declare it in public. فَاصْدَعْ مِنَ الصَّدْعِ. صَدْع means when you say something in public. You declare it. Public statement. Today, فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Turn away from them. These 3 years are enough. Now you have been strengthened. You have enough supporter to go over ground and to share your faith and invite people to Islam. So the first one who practiced taqiyya in Islam was the Prophet, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before him, Anbiya Allah, Musa alayhi salam, and others to protect themselves against aggression, against injustice, against persecution. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله العلي العظيم. There is much emphasis in our religion on the importance of social life and building relations with people, being a bridge builder, a peacemaker, someone who builds friendships, fraternities and brotherhood and sisterhood with his community members. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says, مَنْ لَا صَدِيقَ لَهُ لَا ذُخْرَ لَهُ. If you don't have a friend, then you don't have support in this life. The friend is your best supporter. A friend could be also a family member to you. Try to build these relationships, especially in the community of the faithfuls, the devout, the pious. We need to build and nurture and foster relationships and friendships between the people. ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام الأصدقاء نفس واحدة في جسوم متفرقة. The real friends The real friends are one soul, but this one soul has been put in several bodies. But the soul is one. This is the meaning of harmony. This is the meaning of togetherness. This is the meaning of unity. They carry one soul, and the soul here means one intention, one objective, one goal, one pain, one sorrow, one happiness. It's all one. They share it. This is how God wants us to be. To be like a family. Maybe we have different last names, different colors, maybe different languages, but the heart should be one. The soul and the heart should be one. في رضا الله, in God's obedience. في طاعة الله, for God's satisfaction. Therefore, Islam says, try to choose your friends. Friends who could be an asset to you, not a liability. Some friends are a liability. They waste your time, they waste your life. Don't go near to them. Don't go near them. الصديق, the true friend, يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من دعاك إلى الدار الباقية. The first quality of your true friend is the one who encourages you, invites you to follow the path for the eternal life, not the lower life. Some friends are good, good experts. They teach you what to do in this lower life. You can make money here, you can cheat here, you can do this here, fraud there. Yeah, for the lower life. But the true friend is the one who invites you to do investment and the real one. Always encouragement. Always when you see him, when you talk to him, he gives you invitations one after the other to go for the real life. من دعاك إلى الدار الباقية وأعانك على العمل بها. He would also not only invite you, but also he will provide you help to work for that life, to invest for that life. This, the Prophet says, فَهُوَ الصَّدِيقُ الشَّفِيقُ. This is the affectionate, this is the true friend. This is the warm-hearted friend. Get hold of such friend. وَيَقُولُ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He says, try to have the friend who has these three qualities. These three qualities are not very common, unfortunately, nowadays. In this hectic life, that material life that we live, these qualities are disappearing. But still, alhamdulillah, there is goodness. وَلَوْ خُلِيَتْ لَمْ قَلَبَتْ. If there are no good people, the earth is going to be destroyed. But try to find these three qualities in your friend. That friend is a good friend. Number one, مَنْ الصَّدِيقُ الصَّدُوقُ. The true friend, the intimate, reliable, sincere friend is the one who, number one. مَنْ نَصَحَكَ فِي عَيْبِكَ. The one who provides you with nasiha, good, nice, beautiful advice in your error, in your mistakes, in your faults, in your accidents. He provides you with nasiha. Be humble to him. Don't be arrogant in front of your friend. A friend who loves you. A friend who seeks goodness for you. A friend who seeks protection of you, security of you. Don't be arrogant. Don't repel him. Don't yell at him. Don't reject him. Thank him for what he provides you. Sometimes someone gives us some drink, some food, and sometimes there is something more valuable than food and a drink and clothing and shelter. And that is nasiha, direction in my life. Direction. مَنْ نَصَحَكَ فِي عَيْبِكَ. So take him as a friend. The second, وَحَفَظَكَ فِي غَيْبِكَ. When you are not there, when you are not present, and someone wrongly accuses you, this friend is the first one to defend you in your absence. Normally we defend people in their presence. This is not a big deal. Alhamdulillah, in our presence we have many supporters. This one says, I love you. This one says, I admire you. This one says, wow, what a good person you are.
But in my absence is important, not my presence. In your presence, there are people who you can defend yourself. You don't need a spokesperson. But in our absence, when we are accused, we need a good friend to stand there. And he says, no, if he's not here, his Lord is here. He defends you. وَحَفَظَكَ فِي غَيْبِكَ. And the third one is almost impossible. وَآثَرَكَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. He gives preference to you over him. This is almost impossible. وَآثَرَكَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. But we still have some people who do ithar. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِ. And the leaders of ithar are Ahlul Bayt, عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, when they gave their only food, the bread that they had, and they had nothing in the fridge, where there were no fridges at that time, no fridge, they had nothing, they gave the only food they had for 3 nights, not just 1 night. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. This is ithar. When you starve, in order for you to save the lives of few people around you. This is the highest level of sacrifice, the highest level of faith and dedication. وَآثَرَكَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. We have to learn these qualities from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. 2 days ago, we lost a good friend of us, a doctor, Sayyid Ruḍa al-Hajjar, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. A person who was a very bright, intelligent physician in Southern California, but he did not amass wealth. He lived very humble, very ascetic life. And he left this dunya without dirham or dinar. He gave what he had for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know him very well. I'm very close to his private life. He left this dunya at the age of 75, after 5 years of struggling against this illness that he had. And tonight is going to be his memorial at 8 p.m. at Ahlul Bayt Mosque in Pomona. And Saturday, tomorrow, is going to be his janazah, inshallah, again at the same masjid, Ahlul Bayt Mosque in Pomona, at noon after Salat of Dhuhr immediately. A man who really sacrificed for the sake of the mu'mineen, the community. I said last night here, doctors in America are multimillionaires. To be a physician, this is a very lucrative business in this country. But this man, if you look at his house, his vehicle, his clothing, his lifestyle, his living, I don't feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for ourselves. Good for him. He was looking forward for this moment, for this day, where he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Allah. This is a lesson for us, my friends, a lesson for all of us, that we going to go. I said last night, we are on the waiting list. All of us, without exception. All of us. So we have to be prepared for this moment of departure, because it is the most important and the most critical moment of our life, the moment of departure. We have to be ready for it. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. May Allah bless his soul, inshallah, and admit him into his paradise, gather him with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt, forgive him his sins and our sins, and makes us ready for this moment of departure. I ask the mu'mineen, inshallah, to participate tonight and tomorrow in his memorial and also in his Salatul Janazah, inshallah, at Ahlul Bayt Mosque. Also, we give condolences to one of our good sisters in this community,
She was here last Friday. She was here since we started this mosque in 1996. She was a board member of this mosque for so many years. And she gave, she sacrificed, she helped. And she had only one son. And this son died at the age of 41 2 days ago. Khanum Kauthari, Akram Kauthari, a good friend of us. She says he went to sleep and he never woke up. 41. So there is no guarantee that we can survive for the next month or next year. These are warnings, early warnings for us, for all of us, all ages. Warning for us. So let's work on our account with Allah. Settle this account. If we have debt, if we have other obligations, let's settle this account before it is too late. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' Allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat. إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات. I ask you to remember the shuhada today, the martyrs of Salatul Jumu'ah in the city of Mahasin in Al-Ahsa, in the eastern province of the Arabian Peninsula, the shuhada who died during Salatul Jumu'ah, also Behzad Kauthari and Dr. Rida Al-Hajjar in Surah Al-Fatiha مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.